Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds to your word today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have always been more of a night owl than a morning person. Maybe it started during my years when I worked at camp and I never wanted to go to bed for fear of missing out on something. Or maybe it was the two Christmases I worked for Toys R Us on the overnight crew from midnight till 8 o'clock in the morning, if not longer. Or possibly it started when I was in seminary, and on our little apartment, it was easier to get work done once everybody was asleep. Somehow, over time, I have become a night owl. I am just not one of those people that gets up fresh as a daisy, ready to go at an early hour. I can get up early if I need to, but it's not necessarily my favorite thing to do. Some people, and I don't know that I understand this, some people are morning people. They bounce right out of bed ready to take on the day, to face any challenge that they might encounter. They're bright and active and ready for the day. That's not me. Oh, you could call me in the middle of the night if there's an emergency, and I will jump out of bed and get there as soon as possible. But there's just something about me and mornings. Now, mornings are a beautiful mix of challenge and opportunity for most people. The opportunity of a new day is presented, but it does come with the challenge that we all face to make the most of that opportunity. This is in many ways a template for the life of faith that we all desire as followers of Jesus. Being a Christian is a beautiful mixture of challenge and opportunity. There is a wonderful opportunity to immerse ourselves in God's love and to share that love with others, but along with that comes the challenge of living faith in our everyday lives and in the midst of all of our various and different responsibilities. This challenge is difficult and can at times even be a little bit frightening, especially when we think about the need to embark upon meeting it in our own terms, with our own strengths, our own abilities, as well as our own weaknesses. And as we think in these terms, let's encounter the promises that we find in the book of Lamentation, and let's take those promises to heart so that our everyday challenges, our mornings of faith, if you will, are met with vigor and passion and with the full knowledge that God is with us. In the words of this section of Scripture, we see a complete and total reliance on God. The author speaks of hoping in the Lord, relying on the Lord, trusting the Lord, and waiting on the Lord. The author's words indicate a centrality of God in the author's life. This is a framework that is imperative for us to follow. The framework found in these author's words suggests a lifestyle that revolves around the presence of God in our lives, a lifestyle that gives us hope and allows us to share hope with others, a lifestyle that gives us strength as we face our mornings of faith and all those other times in our lives where we are challenged to live faithfully. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never end. These are two promises that are meant to encourage, empower, and embolden us as we set out to live our lives as lives of faith. They are reminders that God is with us and that God does not flounder and that does not let us flounder without the presence of God's mercy and God's love in our lives. When we search and yearn for those things in our lives that we can rely on, we have these promises, these reminders that God can and should and will be a constant part of our lives, a constant that we seek to be immersed in, and not just when it's convenient, and not just in our times of need. But the scripture is more than just a promise. It is an admonition as well. It gives us a framework for trusting God, and it tells us who God is now and who God will be in our lives. And it is imperative as Christians that we appropriately respond to God's mercies and to God's great faithfulness and to God's never-ending and steadfast love. That starts with our attitude and our understanding of who God is and who God can be in our lives. One of the problems that we have in modern Christianity particularly here as we practice it in a more Western culture, is we are not mystically oriented. For us, this manifests itself in our lack of ability and desire to be amazed by God. We have to be open to be amazed by God. At each morning in our lives, we have to be open to God's new mercies. At each challenge of our faith, we have to be open to God's never-ending love. We have to be open to be amazed. We have to take the promises of new mercies and steadfast love seriously. We have to understand these things as more than just words, as more than just theological concepts, and as more than just sayings that look good when they're posted on a sign on our wall. These truths are the truths by which we should be living our lives. These are the truths that should be guiding our words and our actions. If we are not open to being amazed by God, we will find the world will overwhelm us way too easily. We will find our tasks to be too daunting and it'll be too easy to give up. If we want beautiful mornings of faith, if we want mountaintop experiences of love and joy, we have to be open to God providing those things for us. The very essence of faith is openness to God's moving in our hearts and in our world. So this leads us to another issue that we in the modern church have to deal with on a regular basis. And that is this question of where do we place our hope? Where is your hope? Where is our hope? In a world that tends to leave us wondering sometimes, and wandering for that matter, we in the church need to be able to proclaim the hope that comes in having a relationship with Jesus. Too often, however, we tend to place our hope in different places. We make a choice to place it in different ways. Now, this Old Testament scripture does not reference Jesus specifically, but it reminds us that we need to see God as the central figure in our daily lives, and we accomplish this through putting a relationship with Jesus to the forefront of our lives. Now, I'm not a dismisser of society or our culture, because as I have said many times, we are the authors of our culture. We are the shapers of society. But when we give so much power to these entities that we have created, our tendency is to forget that it is in our Creator that our hope abides. We tend to forget that it is in Jesus that our hope abides. In the powerful language of this Old Testament author, we are reminded not only of what God gives us in terms of mercy and love, but also that we have a responsibility to respond to that mercy and love as if it makes a difference in our lives. So where does your hope reside? Not in the man-made entities of culture and society, not in wealth or education or status, not in a particular political platform or politician. Our hope resides in those God-given, new every morning, mercies and love. But we cannot take that which God gives us for granted. We cannot choose to live like God's mercy and God's love does not impact who we are and what we do. So what do we do? What is the practical application of this in our lives? One of the first things that the author of Lamentations reminds us of is the importance of waiting in the Lord. In the process of embracing our hope in God's love, we sometimes have to learn to wait. But unfortunately, we hate having to wait. We live in an impatient world and an impatient time that emphasizes instant and immediate gratification. You could order something this morning online, and if you have enough money, have it delivered to your home tonight. This is how we like things to work. It makes waiting on anything difficult. But when we know that God's steadfast love never ceases and that God's mercies are new every morning, we have to be able to trust sometimes that we can wait. When I was a child, I relied on my parents for everything, and I was a lucky kid in that they provided for me. And even though I knew that I could trust them, things did not always happen in the time frame that I wanted them to. I had to learn to wait. As children of God, we sometimes need to embrace that same attitude. Because you see, waiting is about trusting God. It's about trusting that God is who God says God is and that God will do all that God promises us that God will do. Waiting is about saying that you trust enough to know who God is in your life. But there are going to be times when we do not see God's love as clearly as we would like. There are going to be times that we don't find clarity and understanding in God's direction for us. It is in those times that we have to learn to wait. It's not easy, so we have to trust. Trust not as a sign of our own piety, but in anticipation of God's provision. You see, the powerful thing about waiting, as presented by this author in Lamentations, is that waiting is not a passive activity only. Waiting is also about seeking as well. When we are waiting on those moments that we are going to be moved by God's love and God's mercy, we need to be constantly seeking after those things. Faith is about looking for God, about looking for those ways in which we can see God's movement. Now, it's not like God is playing a celestial game of hide and seek. God is there. God's love is everlasting. God's mercies are new every morning, and we have to make sure that we are looking. This is where the practice of faith becomes very practical for us. Are you looking for God? Are you seeking God in Scripture? Are you seeking God in worship? Are you seeking God in service to others? Are you seeking God in your work? Are you seeking God in fellowship? Are you seeking God in your joys and in your sorrows? Are we seeking God? This is not a question that's meant to berate or belittle us, though. This is a question to encourage us to remember that God's mercy and God's love is there for us. One of the hardest behaviors that we have to engage in as we apply hope to our lives is understanding that there is encouragement in waiting and seeking as well. There is encouragement that comes for us in God's promises. I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to. Life can be hard. Being faithful can be a challenge. Living our faith can be difficult at times. Whether we're a brand new Christian or have been a Christian for decades, it can be hard. There are so many obstacles to overcome. There are even people who seemingly want to force us away from our connection to God. There are so many distractions that keep us from living faithfully. Because of this, we need to see encouragement that is offered in these words. We need to see the encouragement in being reminded that God's mercy is never ceasing. We need to see encouragement that comes from being reminded of God's everlasting love. We need to remind ourselves that God's mercy is new every morning. We need to remind ourselves that God's love is everlasting. And we also need to proclaim this in every aspect of our lives. Think about the encouragement that you need. As you think about that, think about how then you can be an encouragement to others. In all of this, though, we do need to be reminded of our own frailty. We have to be reminded that there are going to be times when we don't see or understand God as clearly as we would like to. This is part of being human. This is part of our faith journey. And we have to remember that it is often in those times of questioning and those times of doubt that we seek most earnestly and need to seek most earnestly what God has to offer us. The encouragement in this scripture is that it reminds us that there are new mornings, that there are indeed new days, and that with God, there are indeed second chances and more chances even after that. So, if you are struggling, take heart. God's mercies are new every morning. If you are struggling with doubt, take heart. God's love is endless and boundless. It never comes to an end. Each day, each moment, we are wrapped in God's love and presented with a new chance to start again. That gives me hope. That gives us all hope. And this is what we need to be proclaiming in all of our words and in all of our actions. As with any hope, this hope comes with responsibility. As you and I live our lives as lives changed by God's hope, by God's mercy, encouraged by God's love, we have to show others that same power of hope, that same love, and that same mercy. We cannot act or live in such a way that we are saying to others with our words or with our actions that God's love is not for them as well as it is for us. Each of our churches have many challenges as we move forward. In our UCC congregation, we are seeking a transition in leadership. In the Baptist congregation, we are dealing with issues of an aging building. In each of these challenges, we need to see the power of God's love and God's mercy for us, but we also have to show others as well. We need to do so with our words, with our actions, with how we conduct business, with how we interact with one another, with how we interact with our community. We have to show people that God's love and God's mercy is a very real and tangible thing. We cannot allow any of the challenges that we face to make it seem as if we do not believe in the power of God. The way in which we deal with our challenges proclaims how we understand God and how we trust God. To the camp staff, you guys have faced challenges all summer. It is your given responsibility to reflect and share God's love and mercy with others. When you're finished with camp in a couple of weeks, I encourage you not to leave that behind, but to continue to do so, to face each challenge with the sharing of God's love and mercy with yourself and with others. The way in which we deal with our challenges proclaims how we understand God and how we trust God. And the reality is this: we are in the midst of a beautiful morning of faith. Let's live it, let's share it, and let's proclaim it. And I offer you a final thought to ponder. It has been a rough couple of weeks in our country, with an awful lot of tragedy and an awful lot of death. In these things, proclaiming God's love and mercy has become difficult, because to some, to do that may seem as an empty gesture. I encourage you at this time that you think and know and act as if it is imperative for us as people of faith to not let the message of God's love and God's mercy go silent. It is at this time in particular that we need to be proclaiming that message of love and hope and mercy from the mountaintops. So I encourage you this way: however you choose to understand, frame, and talk about the tragedies and things happening in our country, in whatever way you choose to act and respond, do so with one particular consistent thing in mind. Do so proclaiming God's love and God's mercy first and foremost, before whatever agenda you may have, before whatever you might believe politically or culturally. Proclaim God's love. And in doing so, this will help the world. And this will help others to see, despite the things that may be negative, we still are living in a beautiful morning. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear your word and be your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.